Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Talkers Magazine calls Jim Blasingame one of the best talk show hosts in the industry.
Now remember, I do my best work when I'm being worshipped as a god.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging around. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. Rich Galen is our guest, and Rich is one of the top political operatives in the country. He is of the Republican persuasion, in the interest of full disclosure, and he's the guy who writes the thrice-weekly cyber column Mullings at Mullings.com. Rich, welcome back.
Thank you, Jim. How are you?
I'm doing great, and I know you're doing great.
Yeah, well, it was a pretty big night Tuesday night. I have to apologize to the readers of Mullings that how wrong I was in my prediction column of last Friday, when I said the president would get about 396 or so electoral votes. And what happened was
you didn't mean 396.
296. Okay. Yeah, I thought he would win either Minnesota or Wisconsin. He didn't win either one, so he ended up with 286. And
yeah,
so I'm desperately incorrect.
Well, that was my we'll forgive you for that. But the final count was 288. Let's talk about where serve was broken. He broke serve in terms of this election versus the last one. Broke serve in New Mexico
and Iowa. Right.
But those are the two states that really kind of turned it, right?
Well, yeah, they were the two that actually put him over the top. The only one he lost that he had won last time was New Hampshire.
New Hampshire, that was five electorals.
Yeah, which tells you how really kind of solid these things are. I mean, it's really sort of remarkable when you look. When you look at the difference in the popular vote, you know, it really was a 12, 15-point increase in the popular vote. But almost all of the states fell the way they fell 4 years ago. Bush had a structural advantage, as everybody knows, has heard a million times, because of reapportionment after after the census, that more congressional seats moved into states, isn't it, we're now calling them red states, states that Bush had won.
Right.
So he had picked up, I think, 7 electoral votes just by virtue of the reapportionment, but he did pick up the 2 extra states. Yeah.
Right. Well, you know, my grandmother always encouraged me to look for the silver lining in everything, and I think she would say that the silver lining in this election, the last election, as acrimonious as it has been, as nail-biting as it has been, as heart-stopping sometimes as it has been, the last two elections have been a civics lesson beyond anything that I could imagine.
Oh, yeah. Remember 4 years ago, remember, everybody knew for the first time since high school civics how the Electoral College worked and you know, the fact that if it went to the Congress, how that all actually happened. And even that, people forgot that if it goes to the House of Representatives, it's not one person, one vote. It's one delegation, one vote. So Wyoming gets the same number of votes as California, but it never gets that far.
Right, absolutely. Okay, I went home early because I left to vote and thought I'd have to stand in line. Turns out I didn't. So I got home early, earlier than I usually am, and I turned on Fox News with Britt Hume and the cast of characters going around the table there about 5:30 or so. Uh-huh. And what I saw there was just incredible. Fred Barnes was ashen.
Weeping.
He was ashen. I'm serious now.
Yeah.
Fred Barnes was ashen. Bill Kristol and Fred Barnes, folks, are the two firmly conservative in the group. Bill's an actual neocon. But Bill, I thought Juan Williams was going to have to take a pistol out of Bill Kristol's hands. and Fred Barnes was heading for the windowsill.
Yeah,
and they had to talk him down off the sill. This was about 5:30 or so, 6 o'clock or so. And let me tell you what they were doing. Folks, you think I'm teasing, and I am a little bit, but only just a little bit because the gun part wasn't true. But Rich, they were saying all the things that George Bush had done wrong to lose the election.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what happened was, and everybody I think knows this now, is that the exit polling organizations had released numbers that were wrong. or they might have been correct for the moment that they were released, but people use those exit polls as predictors of the outcome, and they were just flat wrong. The early exit polls, and when I say early, up until like 7 o'clock at night, when states actually began to close, Indiana closes at 6, but the exit polls were so drastically wrong that it looked like it was going to be a Kerry sweep across the nation. And I'll tell you, and as I wrote in the column this morning, anybody who tells you that they weren't affected by this, Democrats being jubilant and Republicans being, as you say, you know, people were coming to my house and making sure they took my shoelaces, my belt, and my neckties away.
Yeah. Stand by, Rich. Folks, one talking head said exit polls are never wrong, and he says something's wrong here with the exit polls that he wants to be investigated. I'm going to ask Rich to comment on that when we come back after these messages, and then we're going to talk about 59 million stupid people, apparently, according to the Europeans. Tony Tail, stay with us. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate. And that's not Rich Galen singing there, folks. That's the wire man from England singing. Rich, give us your website, please.
www.mullings, M as in Mary, U-L-L-I-N-G-S.com.
Mullings.com.
You know, I was thinking about that when I heard you doing the commercial in the break. That we have in all, and now however many years it's been that we've had the World Wide Web, what is it? It's been like...
We just celebrated 25 years since the very beginning in 69.
Yeah, but not since there's been, you know, web browsers. And
about 10 or 12 years of commercialism.
Yeah exactly. And that we have not come up with any substitute for WWW as...
That's right.
...as a way to describe it. I mean, it's one of the few things where the initials are longer than the words.
Exactly.
I mean, the World Wide Web is longer.
That's the reason I say triple W.
Yeah, but, I know. That's what made me think of it.
Okay, Rich, and folks, I encourage you to check out Rich's cyber column. And as you heard me say before, even Democrats read it because they want to know what he's up to. Rich, Dick Morris this week said exit polls are never wrong. Something else is wrong. And when he was pressed on that, do you think this was a put-up job? He said, I'm telling you, exit polls are not wrong. Somebody should investigate.
Yeah, he did that on John Gibson's show on Fox. We were both in the green room the other day when he was talking about that. The problem is that, first of all, Dick Morris is often wrong. So you have to balance it against that. Secondly, the notion of the polling firms... I mean, polling firms live and die by their veracity. I mean, I've been in campaigns where the numbers are going in the wrong way, and the candidate or the campaign manager has said, well, let's just give this number, which makes it sound better. And the pollsters have said, well, if you do that, we will issue a statement saying that's incomplete data.
Yeah.
I mean, they really do live and die on honestly trying to constructing the poll and analyzing. I think the bigger issue here is that there is no need to leak, or either by design or by fault, leak numbers that are by their definition incomplete. I mean, clearly, leaking numbers at 2 o'clock or 2:30 in the afternoon is not going to give you anywhere near a complete picture, because some people don't vote until 4 or 5 or 6 or 7.
What's wrong with saying, okay, midnight before the election day, campaigning stops? And we can talk about it all you want, but nothing is said about any progress in the election until the next morning when we all wake up and we count the votes.
Well, you know, it's that pesky First Amendment, and it's really hard to kind of do it. In Indiana, years ago, when I was doing Congressman Quayle's first campaign for Senate against then Birch Bayh, which we won, by the way, back in those days, in 1980, the Indiana... It was self-imposed blackout period that they would not do any political news from midnight Sunday until the polls closed on Tuesday night, and then they finally decided that that's just silly. I mean, news sometimes happens on Monday, and you got to cover it. I was kind of struck by the fact that Senator Kerry was still doing television, satellite television
overnight
interviews. Well, not only overnight, but on election day itself. I thought that was a stretch on behalf of news directors, because and offered similar time to the president and they chose not to use it. That's really a dodge that I think is not worthy of of real live television. I think they should have just said, look, if we can't get them both, then we can't do either. I've been on MSNBC and CNN. These guys, it's Sunday morning when there's only two people watching in the first. The other guy didn't show up. They won't let me on all by myself.
Right.
Even though I say I'll do both sides. I mean, I can argue both sides.
Well, you can pirouette. You can pirouette to the left end.
Because I have no moral grounding whatsoever.
Rich, there's a phenomenon going on in the marketplace right now that I'm seeing where companies are focusing more on their competition and trying to manipulate customers to beat their competition instead of just serving their customers. Is that what's happened to the Democrat Party?
Well, I think there is some of that. I think there's a good deal of that. To use the marketing phrases that, if you think that the space in which you're operating is completely full and you're in a replacement mode as opposed to a growth mode, you got no choice. I mean, if you're in the hotel business in Washington, D.C., it's not likely there's going to be an influx of new visitors year over year.
Right.
So you're in a replacement mode. So you got to steal people from, if you're high, you got to steal them from Ramada. That's probably Marriott Ramada would be a better comparison, but in this environment, and it is not dissimilar. I mean, there are a finite number of voters. It goes up, in this case, it went up what 10 or 12%, but there are a finite number of voters, and because so many of them are locked in. I mean, let's change it to an airline metaphor. I mean, I have 100,000. Frequent flyer miles this year on Delta.
So you're gonna build.
So I'm gonna fly Delta.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, Rich, the thing it seems to me is that in the 2004, minorities and women, for example, are more likely to ask the Democrats to help me start my new company than they are to protect me from those mean guys at the polls.
Well, that is true, but the Democratic Party, I think, is one of the things we know about politics is everybody's always fighting the last campaign. Generals fight the last war,
yeah.
and political people fight the last campaign. And I think what we saw here were the Democrats, especially with their non-party allies like George Soros, who was mm-hmm. funding MoveOn.org and that sort of stuff,
mm-hmm.
That they were fighting the 2000 election when, in fact, they should have been fighting the 2008 election.
Right. Well, I think that the Democrats are going to have a serious word with themselves, as our English friends say. And when we come back, I'm going to ask you what that word might be, what those conversations might look like, Rich. We're going to get Rich to advise the Democrats. That's a good one. And then I'm going to remind Rich about my prediction for 2008 that I made last February and get his thoughts on it. Tin Tail, stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I encourage you to subscribe to Rich Galen's cyber column, ladies and gentlemen. Comes 3 times a week, and I know you'll like it. He even has pictures. For those of you who don't like to read, he has pictures, too. So you might want to check that out when you get a chance. And that's at Mullings.com, right, Rich?
Mullings.com.
And don't forget, many of you have seen Rich's shiny head on many of the talk shows out there. And he's often, some people are talking heads. Rich is a shiny head, and I mean that with all affection.
Yeah, in the highest possible.
With great affection. But you'll see him on Fox, and he did the overnight for CNBC, didn't you?
MSNBC
on Tuesday night. So, Rich, I made a prediction. In February, I heard Hillary Rodham Clinton speak to 1,100 women. She charmed us all out of our socks. And I said to my wife then, I said, there will be if George Bush wins 2004, that means there's a new world in 2008. And I said that there will be a female and or a minority on the Republican ticket in 2008, based on what I saw that night.
I'm not sure how you get there, but, I'll buy it.
Well, it's because Hillary Rodham Clinton is going to be a formidable force.
Well, but that doesn't mean you have to match her with a woman. I mean, you can match her with a.
Okay, all right. You know, I've declared my.
I mean, that
unlike the networks, I'm willing to make a call.
Yeah, but that presumes that Hillary Rodham Clinton is going to drive the political agenda for the next 4 years, and I just don't believe that's true.
Well,
true. We have a president. We have expanded majorities in the House and Senate. It's tough.
I'll bet you dinner and any kind of bottle of wine you want to buy at Philomena's in Georgetown my prediction is true.
That there'll be a woman
or a minority.
What counts as a minority?
Well, Hispanic, African American, that sort of thing.
Well, I mean, I'm not. No, I mean, I don't want to
bet. Are you going to bet
with
me?
I'm just saying that I'm not rooting against that. I don't, you know, I hope the best possible person gets the nomination. But my point is that your presumption is that Hillary Rodham Clinton is going to drive the political agenda for the country. And
I think she will be a significant force on the Democratic side.
In the Democratic Party. Party, which happens to be in a distinct minority today.
Well, I think the laws of physics will apply to a degree in 2008. Okay, there are two headlines in Europe yesterday. One said 58 million stupid people.
Right.
Obviously,
there's an early count. There's really 59
million stupid people. And the other one, another headline, another European paper said it was a bad day for terrorists.
Yeah, well, I think you know, no on one, yes on two. As you know, I spent a good deal of time in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Both, you know, especially over the last month, October. And the cheering for John Kerry was deafening.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I actually did a luncheon at here in Washington Wednesday noon, just before I literally fell asleep in my soup, and it was with a largely German audience at lunch. I mean, not a huge; there was like a dozen or 15 people, and they were insisting to know. They were insisting for me to tell them how President Bush was going to, you know, fix the relationship between the U.S. and what Secretary Rumsfeld called old Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, am I missing something here? George Bush won, you know, over your objections.
Right.
I said, I don't want to be ugly about this, but, you know, if you guys keep it up, it's going to be my way or the Autobahn.
Right.
Which they didn't think was particularly amusing, but I thought was great. I repeated it for the whole rest of the day.
Well, I want to say one thing. My last comment on that is, frankly, you know, people say, don't you? I've had people say to me, Rich, don't you care what the Europeans think about us? And you know what my answer is? No.
Yeah, because when they need something, they'll come running to us.
That's
again.
Right.
They'll suck up to us and
now,
beg us.
I have a lot of friends over there. I have a lot of friends over there, but I don't care what they think about us. Okay, I want you to tell us where the Dems go from here.
Well, the Dems, I think, are going to have to struggle with themselves. I suspect that the neo left that John Kerry tried to tinker with will be now seen as a complete loss. And they're going to have to move to the middle and try to shove the Republicans to the right. I mean, the secret is to try to make, you know, show the differences between you and the other guy.
Do you think they get it?
You can either do that by running to your edge, or you can do that running to the middle and force them to their edge. And I think what the Democrats are going to have to do is to look for some, as we call them, DLC Democrats, Democratic Leadership Council Democrats, to take over the party apparatus, the party structure, the party spokesman, and to force the Republicans to the right to try to make the differences clear to the voting people. I don't think they'll do it.
So you don't think they get it yet?
No.
Okay. Well, one other thing that happened this week is Senator Edwards made his first campaign speech for 2008.
Yeah,
concession speech.
He's got no platform for
nowhere
4 years.
To go. Hey, thanks, Rich. See you next time.
Pal.
Appreciate your help this week. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.